And now let's read from your emails.
Many of you wrote about our ongoing coverage of the tragic floods in the Midwest. Liz Erickson in Iowa City sent us this note.
You've done a great job covering a terrible, terrible situation in our Iowa floods, and your accurate, tactful coverage is much appreciated. I listened to David Shaper's story about the mess in Cedar Rapids, she continues. His comment about the 500-year floodplain needs a bit of clarification. The definition of a 500-year floodplain is not that a flood will likely occur in that area once every 500 years, but instead that there is a 1 in 500 or a 0.2% chance that a flood will occur in that area in any given year.
We checked with the Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA, and indeed they say Ms. Erickson is correct. The definition of a 500-year floodplain is there's a 1 in 500, or 0.2% chance, that a flood will occur in that area in any given year.
Bryn Matthew of Los Angeles wrote about our story on how the continuing floods could drive up food prices for everyone.
Another story about floods or drought has come and gone without a single mention as to why we're having this extreme weather, he writes, suggesting that climate change is to blame. It's a missed opportunity to ask Americans to come to terms with their choices. The next time you interview a farmer who's suffering because of flood or drought, I'd like to know whom he voted for, what kind of car he drives, and how big his house is. Don't like the weather? Well, you reap what you sow.
Now from the Midwest to the East and West Coasts and sports.
Larry Gingrich, a Boston sports fan from East Petersburg, Pennsylvania, thought that our sports contributor, Stefan Fatsis, left something important out when describing the agonies and ecstasies of Beantown fandom.
He says that Stefan neglected to mention another of Boston's professional teams that has enjoyed some success. Mr. Gingrich points out the New England Revolution, the Major League Soccer team, has appeared in the last three cup finals. Of course, they have lost all three.
Last week, our co-host Michelle Norris engaged in some odds-making with an unlikely sports pundit, Barack Obama.
One last question, Lakers or Celtics?
I tell you what, I thought the Lakers were the better team, but the Celtics have been tough. I might have to revise my prediction here. I assumed Lakers in six. I don't think that's realistic now. This may
doesn't look like it.
It does not look like it. It may be Celtics in six.
And we'll find out tomorrow when the two play again. The Celtics are up 3-2 against the Lakers.
From sports to music, on Friday we featured writer Mark Aceto, who has a propensity to burst into song.
But singing out loud is good for you. It gets oxygen flowing. It relieves stress. You should do it when the dog bites, when the bee stings, but only after first aid.
Well, that prompted a wide range of comments. Maureen Cruz of Chicago writes, there is someone else like me in the world? Please consider this a formal proposal of marriage to Mr. Aceto.
Well, Walt Martin of Phoenix thought differently. He writes, why add to all the strife in the world by letting that guy sing on the radio?
And Nicole LeBlanc adds, cheers to Mr. Aceto for making me want to dance and sing, although no one would want to witness it.
Everyone's a critic. Whether we provoke a shout, a moan, or a song, we want to know what you think of our program, and you can visit npr.org and click on Contact Us at the top of the page.
Please let us know where you live and how you pronounce your name.